You're tuned in to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Allie Lightfoot. On today's show, we're featuring some interviews conducted at the Rocky Mountain Folks Festival in Lyons. KVNF's Ashley Crest had a chance to interview the members of the band River Wireless at this year's festival. Stay tuned for that interview, but first, here they are with their song Falling Farm off their 2018 release, Kindness, a Rebel.
Here with River Wireless at the Rocky Mountain Folk Festival. Thanks for you guys taking some time out to chat with me.
Of course,
So Bob Boylan from NPR classified your sound as an amalgamation of folk and pop and beyond. Does that resonate with you guys? And what is it that you strive for in the beyond part? Who wants to take that?
We'll take that.
So it's folk. He said folk and pop and beyond. Is that okay? Yeah, I suppose that resonates, but that's okay. We don't really think about what our descriptions are when we write music. So when people tell us what they think we sound like, we're like, that's great. We love that you think that. That's about as far as it goes. As far as the beyond part, yeah, we're just trying to make music that makes us happy and is challenging for us. So hopefully it's also challenging and makes other people happy.
I think the beyond thing is what most artists are trying to reach when they're writing music. That untouchable magic that happens when we write together is probably the beyond. I don't know that anyone ever does reach it, but that's the thing.
Nice. So you know how in a family, everyone sort of takes on a role, right? Like bands become families. So my question really is, like, what role do you feel each of you play in the band?
That's a huge can of worms you're trying to open up right there.
Who are we asking?
Maybe we should simplify it to, we were talking about a burrito earlier, and what everybody does in the burrito.
Totally, go for it.
And the burrito of River Wireless. I never got an answer, but I think Ryan said I was the kale, so I'll stick with that.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Alex. Can you say who you are?
Oh, this is Daniel.
Daniel talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Alex talking. If I was an ingredient in a burrito, I would probably be
the beans.
The beans.
I don't think you can pick your own thing.
You say the beans? Yeah. All right. Okay. I'll take that.
All right.
Beans.
No one's picking.
Well, I don't know. I want to be the pico de gallo because it's just like I have different days where I'm a different thing, whether it be a cucumber rotten onion or a cucumber or a nice bright tomato. It just depends on the day which one's fresh. But I don't know. I haven't been defined by someone else. I think pico.
I think pico's good for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to default to Alex to say what I am in the burrito of life and River Wireless.
I think Ryan is a big cheesy tortilla.
Queso, okay, you're the queso.
I'm the queso.
The
queso. Plus the tortilla.
Did this explain our roles at all, or did we just divert that question?
No, that was a really great answer. I love it. Thank you. So the title of the latest album, Kindness a Rebel, is awesome. What are some strong examples of this that you see these days?
Kindness being a rebel?
I think generally after the last 2 years we're starting to see a shift where people are starting to maybe open up to conversation, like what Alex was saying, and to me that's a lot of what Kindness a Rebel means is openness to conversation with people that maybe you disagree with or you think you disagree with. You might not really disagree with them other than maybe the way they look or some ideology that you don't fully understand, but all in all I think we're moving towards something where we're striving for something that maybe we don't know of yet, and I don't think there are that many people that are trying to create a volatile society, and so I see after in 2016 until now there was this big feeling of unrest. But now I do feel like people are starting to understand that that's not sustainable and it's not really desirable. And I think that hopefully, our little role in that is appreciated and we appreciate everybody else's role in that because that's the goal, The goal is not to divide, so.
Yeah. Cool. This is the last question. This album was written and recorded during a monumental time of change that you just referred to, and both in the world and actually after reading, it sounded like for all of you personally. So now, is it hard to play the songs, like when perhaps things have shifted, or like, I guess maybe in general, do you think it's harder to create art like this when you're not going through such monumental change?
Well, I wouldn't say it's hard to play the music. I'd say it's gratifying to play the music. And one of the best things about creating music in times like that is you're connected to that part of yourself kind of forever. Like when I play a song that I wrote in high school, I can still connect to that part of me that is in high school. And these moments of change and these hard moments are also like some of the most beautiful parts of life. And, like playing a song might make you tear up sometimes, but it's still like a beautiful feeling. And one that I think makes you a deeper and stronger person. It's part one.
That's a great answer. And I think, the other answer is like you write a song originally for yourself in a lot of ways. It's an expression of some sort. And then once you sort of put it on a record and put it out in the world and start going on tour, it kind of belongs to a bigger thing. And you have to learn to accept that and realize that even if you're not on that particular day or in that particular song on that particular day feeling the same way you felt when you wrote the song, it doesn't really belong to you in the same way it did when you first wrote it. And so it's really about sharing. Maybe the stuff that we wrote in 2016 isn't quite as relevant as it is now or whatever, but that's okay too. I mean, it's all about just like Dan said, remembering what you were feeling when you wrote it and realizing that that's all valid even if it's not relevant right this second.
It plays a role in the history of the band and the history of music and is small, a small role sometimes, but it always is going to play a role. And songs from the 60s and 70s are still really impactful. A good song is a good song.
Folk music, mean, if you're writing folk music, you want to take a snapshot of time and you want to say something, and hopefully some of the messages aren't applicable down the road from our record. But a song to me is sort of like a child. You release it out into the world, and then it's no longer really in your control, and it adapts with the times, and it still has the heart from when you created it, but the knowledge to change and adapt to the time that it's in. So hopefully those songs live somewhere, somehow.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time and your music, and you guys made me cry today.
Thanks.
I like your Indian style.
Yeah,
thanks.
Long time lover, have you gone? I left you walking through the parking lot of a Motel 6 as I turned our van back east. Somewhere on the road we lost our way. In my mind I can save us all, I can breathe it all back to life. In my mind, and in my mind, I spend my whole life moving, I spend my whole life on a road. From a dream I'm waking up, and for the first into a life that I deem worth living all my life. And in my hands, a child is dying. In my mind, I can save the boy. I can bring it all back to life. In my mind.
That was the band River Wireless with the song Motel 6. KVNF's Ashley Crest spoke with them at the 2018 Rocky Mountain Folks Festival. This is Allie Lightfoot, and you're tuned into Talkin' Music. We've been listening to some highlights from this year's Rocky Mountain Folks Festival. Another band performing at the festival this year was the French-Canadian outfit Les Poulets à Colin. This young band has a repertoire that mixes original and traditional pieces, primarily in French, but with some English compositions, revealing a unique and modern perspective on traditional Quebec culture. I spoke with Beatrix and Marie backstage after their show. Here's Les Poulets à Colin with the song Belle Exodina.
Tu as menti par ta gorge, tu reviens de voir ta mie. Je voudrais la voir morte, que son cœur serait ici à Dieu. Père Exodina de Misela, adieu je m'en vais, mais adieu je m'en vais. Par ta gorge, c'est le temps d'une brebis.
I was surprised to find out that this band has been together for 9 years. So you must have started playing when you were very young, right?
Yeah. I'm the youngest. So the others were about 18, like 17, 18 when they started. And I was just like starting high school. I was 13 and like when we first did our first gigs, you know? Uh-huh. So yeah, that's almost 10 years ago. And we've been friends forever. So it doesn't seem like a big thing whenever we tell people, yeah, it's been 10 years. Well, we've been friends for longer than that. So we kind of grew up together and grew up playing music together and decided to start a band.
And you sing a lot of traditional songs, and some of them are from the music of Brittany. And I was unfamiliar with that region and the music that it produces. Is that in Montreal, where you're from, is that more accessible? Are you, obviously, because there's more of a French influence, but all of the things that you're bringing into the mix, were those things that you were picking up from around Montreal?
In fact, Sarah, our pianist, is half Breton. Her mom is from Brittany. And so that's why we go look for those traditional songs in that repertoire, but the Breton repertoire, traditional music and Quebec traditional music is kind of similar. There's a lot of similarities in the instruments and even the same songs sometimes, because Quebec, a lot of Quebecois comes from France at first, so there's a lot of the song traveled to Quebec and then they change with the years, but yeah.
What did they do to the music in Canada? Like, how did it sort of transform in a few ways? I'm sure there's plenty of ways, but
well, I guess traditional music back home initially is just, if we're thinking like not professionally, you know, just like in people's homes, would be played at parties, you know, and that's how you would entertain the party, and there'd be a lot of singing. That's like one of the most common traditions actually in the region that we're from, is singing. And it's people singing with no instruments, you know, just singing a cappella. And a lot of the times it'll be call and response songs, so they'll sing a verse and then the whole party will respond. And so the music that we do, the root of it kind of comes from that energy and that atmosphere of just playing with each other and playing as a group with other people. And it's oftentimes associated with like Christmas time, because that's when people, families would get together. But more and more bands have taken songs and tunes from that tradition and have rewrote them, and people started writing music as well. And that's a very common thing in Quebec, is very known, like fiddle players that play their own tunes. They actually don't play traditional music, you know, which is kind of strange. And we still use the word trad, but even us, like every single tune that we played this afternoon was an original tune, you know. There's nothing traditional about it, except the fact that it sounds like that and we're using instruments that are from the tradition. And it's kind of the starting point of our music. So it's a very complex subject. There's a lot of different things to talk about. But
I basically asked, how does music change?
Well, it changes with people that keep playing it and generations that keep playing it. We come from families of musicians. And so the term like oral transmission and just transmission of music is very important in our lives, because that's how I learned to play fiddle. My dad would teach me tunes like all the time, and I consider myself like, you know, like someone that's been transmitted music, you know, and hopefully we're doing the same by performing it, you know, in other countries and in other states. We're kind of showcasing it, you know, and hope that people will take whatever they want of that, and maybe themselves they will change it. And that's kind of how it happens.
When you first started playing, both of us looked at each other and we both thought you, Ashley mentioned that you sound like angels. and you do. I mean, definitely has this angelic quality about it. But then later on in the show, you were talking about how you went to song school and you taught the little children a song about someone who murders their girlfriend for their mother. And so I was thinking at that point, well, maybe every song they sang was actually like there were some dark lyrics in there. And it's the same with traditional music in the United States too. We have murder ballads and things like that. There's always some dark things in there. But at one point Colin mentioned that you all like contrast, and that was part of what you're trying to bring to the table. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, I was saying before, the music that we play comes from a very like festive environment, and I guess we found it interesting to point out that a lot of the songs that we hear at home, even like, you know, like your neighbor singing a trad song, most of the time they're not very happy songs. Like we didn't just find like four like songs that are sad. You know, it's just a really reality that a lot of the folk songs actually in Quebec are pretty weird and strange and have very interesting stories sometimes that are very dark, and we just thought that it would be interesting to bring that into our music and to focus on that on our latest album and to really bring that aspect of the music out and kind of to show people that, you know, we do play party music. We do, when we pronounce ourselves like Quebecois musicians, people assume that we're going to be playing some like up-tempo party music, but actually it's kind of, we found it kind of funny and ironic that basically, yeah, we can play some festive music, but everything that we're singing about is very dark, and there's a lot of complexity in these songs, and they're stories basically, you know, they're just strange stories and makes you wonder who came up with it first, you know. And the fact that we're not very dark people and then we're not sad people, we're very happy. And I think you can hear it in the music as well, that we're not like depressed or anything. We found that pretty interesting, and we did focus on that for the latest album.
La première volerie que j'ai faite dans ma vie, c'est d'avoir gaspillé vous le monde en trois paris, vous le montant des guerres.
the French-Canadian band Les Poulets à Colin with the song La Volerie off their 2017 release, Morose. They were interviewed at this year's Rocky Mountain Folks Festival. I'm Allie Lightfoot. Thank you for tuning in to Talkin' Music on KVNF.